He ought to speak to you every day. His presence you ought to feel with each step that you take. He ought to be a reminder every time trouble comes your way that God is always there to help. The Holy Spirit is the one who walks beside. He's referred to as the other comforter. The word comforter there comes from a word that comes from the Greek word parakletos, which means one who walks close beside. I'm glad that we have one that walks close beside of us. A number of years ago, I heard about a preacher who had lost his notes. And he searched everywhere and he couldn't find them. And it was time for him to speak before hundreds of preachers at a preacher's meeting. And even though he had spent much time in study and he knew his topic very well, he was very nervous because he'd lost his notes and they kind of give you a little bit of a confidence and they kind of help you as you are preaching and kind of remind you where you need to be and where you need to go. And so he's just all worried. Oh, no, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got all these preachers and they're older than me and I don't have my notes and I'm going to have to wing it up here. And well, he said, take your Bible and turned to such and such passage, and as he opened up his Bible, there in the fly leaf of his Bible was a set of notes. You know, it's the way it is with Christians sometimes. We get all worried, frustrated, because we think that which is so important is not there. And really what we should do is trust God, because it's there all the time. And that's the way the Holy Spirit of God is. When we think that sometimes He's not there and troubles come along and we don't know what to do, He's there. And He's there all the time. This morning I'd like to have you look at Galatians chapter 5. And I'd like to have you look at verse number 16 through verse number 23. And as we've been dealing with the topic of the Holy Spirit and different topics throughout the year, our key verse is found in Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 27. It talks about striving together for the faith of the gospel. And I believe that as a child of God, we ought to strive together for the faith of the gospel, endued with the power of the Holy Spirit of God on our lives. And I believe that if we are endued by the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives, we are going to be fruitful Christians. Amen? We are going to be fruitful Christians. And this morning I'd like to bring you a message entitled, The Fruit of the Holy Spirit of God in Our Lives. The Fruit of the Spirit. Look what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. He's talking to believers here, folks. He's talking to saved. And the saved are to walk in the Spirit. It says, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary. I've got that underlined in my Bible. These are contrary. They don't mix. They don't go along. The works of the flesh and the walking in the Spirit do not go hand in hand. They're on the opposite ends of the spectrum. And those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we can live in the works of the flesh, then you ought to remind yourself that you are not walking in the Spirit of God. Amen? And the Bible tells us these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before and have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But. You know what the word but means? It means this changes everything. It means, you know what, forget what I've just said. This is what I want you to focus on now. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's, do you belong to Christ today? Do you belong to Jesus Christ today? And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Galatians chapter 5 deals with walking in the Spirit of God. Every problem that we face in life, every difficulty that we're confronted with, every heartache that we have to endure would be handled correctly and biblically if we as God's people would remember that moment by moment we need to walk in the Spirit of God. Let's bow forward to prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I do pray that you'd help us today. And help us, Lord, as your people, to manifest the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. I pray, Lord, you bless in a great way. Lord, if people are saved and the fruit is not being produced, I pray, Lord, that you would work in their lives. And Lord, maybe it means the branches need to be pruned back. Maybe it means they need to be prodded along. But Lord, we know that your word says here, and my Father glorified it, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Lord, I want to bear fruit this morning. And Lord, I pray that it be the prayer of every Christian here to bear fruit for the glory of God. Spiritual fruit. Work in our lives. And Lord, I pray if there's one here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, oh God, I pray that you would just birth them into your family. Bring them, Lord, to a place of repentance in their life, and Lord, turn them to Thee. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. This morning I want you to notice several things as we look at this. I want you to notice what it says. In verse number 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." As a child of God, we are to walk in the Spirit of God. And as we walk in the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is present in our life, that happens when you get saved, and He is active in our life as we walk with Him, you will produce spiritual fruit in your life. Look what it says. In verse number 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit." I want you to notice what the fruit of the Spirit is. Notice I didn't say who the fruit was, but I want you to notice what the fruit is. Amen? And I realize that some people are kind of fruity. But as a child of God, we need to go ahead and not be weird or odd. We ought not be fruity in that sense. We ought to go ahead and bear spiritual fruit in our lives. And it talks about, in verse number 17, and that's where I really want to begin, it says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse 17 says, For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another." The very first thing I want you to understand is the Bible talks about the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. They are contrary. They are contrary. They just do not go together. There are some things in life that just do not mix well. Oil and water do not mix well. Usually, cats and dogs don't mix well. I know, I think it's inbred in dogs just to naturally hate cats. And if you got a dog and a cat in your house and they get along well, it's because you taught them to do so. And I've got a dog, and he would just love to just eat my cat alive, I think, but we're teaching him, and after a year and a half, the cat's starting to get used to him, and I think deep down inside, there's something coming out in that dog, let me at him, I just want at him, cats and dogs have fought for years. How many of you saw the video clip about the little boy that was on his bicycle this past week, and he was out there, and the neighbor dog came over and attacked him, and the cat came running from the side and jumped on the back of that dog and attacked that dog and run that dog off to protect that little boy. I thought, you know what? I have a whole new appreciation for cats after that. I really do. I, I'm not a real cat person. My wife likes cats. I like dogs. And she's got a cat. I've got a dog. And but you know, there are some things that just don't normally go together too well. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Water and oil. You can shake it up and shake it up, and after a while, it's going to separate. It just doesn't go well together. I remember growing up, they would tell you, you know, if you're going to get dressed, don't mix stripes and plaids together. It doesn't go. How many of you folks that are my age or older remember people saying that? Don't mix stripes and plaids together. Now, you know we live in a new day. Anything goes. You can wear stripes and plaids and polka dots and anything. I mean, people do it. I mean, and they say it's style. I think it's bad style, but anyway, you know, there are some things that just don't go together. They are contrary one to another. And the works of the flesh are contrary to the fruit of the Spirit. And if you are walking in the flesh, manifesting those things that are listed here, and say, you know what, I'm walking in the Spirit of God, you are lying to yourself and those that are around you because they do not mix. I want you to notice what it says in verse number 19 through 21. Verse number 19 through 21 identifies the works of the flesh. And I'd like to take each one of these and I'd like to give you a definition in modern lingo as far as what these words mean. I know in today's language, it seems like we don't really study out definitions of words. I like to study out definitions of words because I want to be informed. I want to know what these words mean. Because, listen, words determine doctrine. And if we don't understand words, or if we change words, you're going to change doctrine. You're going to change the way people live according to the Word of God. And so we ought to know what the Word of God has to say. I want you to notice, this is, the Bible describes the works of the flesh. If you've got these things in your life and you claim to be a child of God, you need to repent and you need to turn to God and say, Lord, forgive me. And Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to live for you. I want to walk in the Spirit of God and help me overcome these works of the flesh. Notice what it says in verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. And that word manifest just means come to a head. It makes it visible. Which are these? Number one, adultery. What is adultery? Adultery, according to your dictionary, means breaking the marital vow through sexual impurity. That's what adultery is. Today, all definitions of sexual misconduct, everybody wants to throw them out the window. And let's embrace the new culture of our society. Listen, the new culture of our society is contradictory to the Word of God. Amen? And we need to go ahead and stand up. And even though it is not a popular thing, we need to stand up against the homosexual and the gay and lesbian agenda because it is against the Word of God. Amen. And I realize that we have politicians today that are wanting to endorse and try to promote same-sex marriage, but it is an abomination before God. And listen to me, the Bible talks about how God judged Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness, and America is not far off the judgment of God unless we repent and turn back to God. The Bible talks about adultery. And then the next word is fornication. And fornication, that word, it means harlotry. It's a general term in reference to all sexual practices that are unbiblical. Sexual impurity or immorality that can take into homosexuality. The Bible condemns it. It can take in bestiality. It can take into account of all types of sexual impurity, adultery included. Fornication is a large term covering all those things. Adultery is a specific term. And then we find it says uncleanness. And according to the dictionary, it's reference to impurity, physical or spiritual. You know, John Wesley said that cleanliness was next to godliness. Well, I think we ought to keep our bodies clean. But more so, you better keep your heart clean. Amen? You better keep your heart clean. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you are struggling with something in your life, let me clue you in on something. As soon as you begin to reason with yourself about that sin, you've already lost. You've already lost. You need to be like Joseph in the Old Testament. As soon as Potiphar's wife said, "Come, lie with me," he got out of there so quick he left his coat behind. He ran from the presence of sin. The Bible says that we are to flee also unrighteousness or ungodliness. We're supposed to run from those things. Flee fornication, the Bible says. So uncleanness, impurity, physical or spiritual. And then there's the word lasciviousness. Now, I know that we use that in our everyday vocabulary today. Boy, that person is really, they have a lascivious behavior. Actually, we don't use that word a whole lot, but it's a very powerful word. And the word lascivious means a lustful desire. A lustful desire. Do you realize most of the things that you allow your children to watch on TV involves lust? I've got to have this. I've got to have this. I've got to have this. It might be something that you may seem innocent. I remember years ago when my kids were in school, everybody wanted starter jackets. Everybody wanted a certain type of Air Jordan tennis shoe. And kids would just, I got to have this. I got to have this. And they would just drive their parents. Well, you know what it was? It was lust. And we're allowing our TV and the advertisements on it to create a lust in our children from the very beginning, and they browbeat their parents. You say, "Oh, that doesn't happen to me." Listen, all you got to do is walk into Walmart and listen to any 4 or 5 year old screaming at their parents at the top of their lungs saying, "Mom, I want this." And finally, after about a half an hour of listening to them in the store, one time I just hollered out, "Why don't you just spank that kid?" And my wife says, "Shh, quiet, quiet." That's what, you know, you shouldn't allow a 4 or 5 year old to dictate to you what you do and what you shouldn't do. Amen? The Bible talks about lasciviousness, lustful desires. Many times we equate this dealing with sexual desires, but it goes beyond that. It could be a desires for all kinds of things. It's a lustful desire that I'm going to go ahead and put everything second place in order to get my desire fulfilled. It might be a car or a house or a relationship. I'm going to go ahead and put God last. He's going to be bottom on the burner as long as I can get my desires fulfilled. Listen, that is lasciviousness. It is a lustful desire. That is a work of the flesh. And then it talks about idolatry. You say, "Oh, well, I'm safe there, preacher. I'm not an idolater. I don't worship idols." You know, it says in 1 John 5:20, it says, "Little children, keep yourself from idols." He was talking to believers there. You know why? Because believers, you can have idols in your life too. Anything that you put before God becomes an idol. It could be your job. It could be a vacation. It could be something else. It could be a special thing that you admire and that you love. A few years ago, they came out with this singing program called American Idol. I detest the term. We shouldn't have any idols before us. Shouldn't have any idols. About 12 years ago, we had a couple come in, and they were sitting in our church, and a couple little girls that were sitting there, and I just happened to get on a rampage about bad music and bad role models. And I said, "You ought not let your kids listen to Britney Spears. Bad role model. Bad music." And by the way, I'll still say that today. And that young mother got mad because her mom and dad, or excuse me, her two children, they love Britney Spears. And they refused to ever come back to this church because I preached against the rock and roll music, which ought to be preached against. It's from the pit of hell. And I preached against this person. I said, you mark it down. They may seem innocent now, but you watch. And it wasn't within a couple of years, it all broke loose. You know, they put a rock and roll singer before the things of God. You know what that's called? It's called idolatry. It's called idolatry. The Bible says it's the work of the flesh, the worship of false gods. And then it says witchcraft. It's interesting that that word witchcraft comes from the Greek word pharmakia. It's the same word where we get the word pharmacy from in our English equivalent. It means enchantment with drugs. We are having an epidemic in our society. We are having an epidemic in our society with crack, with crank, with heroin. And of course, the world solution is, let's go ahead and just legalize it. Foolish. It is a work of the flesh. Drugs and alcohol will do nothing but destroy your lives and destroy your families and destroy your testimony as a child of God. Amen. Witchcraft. Enchantment with drugs. And then it uses the word hatred. It means hostility. Reason for opposition. Always at odds with somebody. And then the word variance. Variance is in reference to a quarrel or contention or a debate. It seems like these take gradual step upward. Worse and worse. Hatred and then variance. And then emulations. It means to be heated up in anger or jealousy. So a person begins to have hatred. And then they begin to quarrel. And then they begin to get heated up about it. Until they're ready to explode. And then comes wrath after that. And the word wrath there comes from the Greek word thumos, where we get the English equivalent of thermos. It means something that is hot, boiling over. You ever met someone that gets so enraged that their face turns red and they're about ready to blow a cork? You ever met anybody like that? I've worked for some people like that before. Not a very pleasant situation. That word thumos means a passion as if breathing hard and fierceness and indignation or wrath. You see, a person, they start with hatred and then variance and then emulations and all of a sudden they've got wrath and they're boiling over. Listen, the child of God should never be that way. And then after that is strife. It means a faction. It means contention or contentious. Always fighting, always splitting things up. And seditions. Seditions is in reference to disunion. Figurative or spiritually. Dissension or division. You know what God has called us to do as a people of God? He said, be all of one mind. One spirit. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. We are to be in fellowship. And as I said, fellowship is in reference to two fellows in a ship. They're both in the same situation. They're both going the same direction. And they ought to be both paddling the same direction. Amen? It doesn't work well if you paddle different directions, especially if you're in a canoe. If you've never experienced that, take a canoe trip with my wife or my daughter. They'll tell you all about that. All right? Going down the Sandusky River, doing loopity loops all the way down until they hit the waterfall. That didn't turn out well. Seditions. And then heresies. A choice of disunion, leaving or departing from truth in order to follow error. And then there is envy, which means ill will. To be full of jealousy or spite. Don't have the attitude, Christian, that, well, I'll get even. Well, you know what they say about payback. I'll go ahead and get the last word in. Wrong spirit. and then murders. To murder means to slay. You know, we don't have to do that physically. We can do that with our tongue. People have come to me and said, "Hey, have you seen such and such on TV?" People have been accused of things. I say, "Yeah, I've seen it." I refuse to believe it. I refuse to believe things. The Bible says, "Hopeth all things, believeth all things." We're not to think evil of any man or woman. Murders. I was on the internet and looking at some of these things, and people posted on the underneath of the article on the internet, "He should rot in hell, and I'll hope that he never gets out," and all this stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, what type of spirit is that? You know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, each and every one of us would probably be in jail today. Either that or we'd be in hell today. And then it goes on, the works of the flesh, not only murder, but drunkenness, intoxication, revelings is the last one listed there. A carousal, as of letting loose, rioting. Live and let live. Those are all works of the flesh. Those are things that the child of God should not have reappearing over and over and be a constant lifestyle in their life. Should not be. Look if you would in verse 21. "As I have said, or as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not," what? "Inherit the kingdom of God." Hold your place here. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Let me repeat that statement. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate," it's talking about homosexuals, "nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." You know, when I first read that, I thought, man, there ain't nobody going to go to heaven. Because in some fashion or form, every child of God, if you're here today and you're saved, all of us, we've committed something along that line. You say, "Oh, not me." Well, now you've just lied. It says, "Shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now look at verse number 11. "And such were some of you." You know, the word "were" is pointing back to something previous. That's what we were. But as a saved person, we're not that anymore. "But such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God." Now, I want you to notice that those things there, the works of the flesh, identify those who are lost. It doesn't mean that we cannot fall into one of these sins, because there is not a just man that walketh upon the face of the earth, doeth good and sinneth not. But it means that if this is the pattern of our life, if this is the way our lifestyle is, you mark it down. You better check out your salvation. Amen? Now, just opposite. Remember, it's contrary. Look at verse number 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit." What's the very first one, everybody? Love. It is that Greek word agape, which means a self-sacrificing type of love. It is a Calvary love. It is a love that Christ showed to us was upon the cross of Calvary. And what type of love was that? He did not die for the godly. It says in Romans 5 and verse number 6, "In due time Christ died for the ungodly." He died for the wicked. He died for the sinner. He died for me. He died for you. We need to understand that love, it is a self-sacrificing type of love. It is a love that puts others' needs before your own. You know, that is a fruit. It is a manifestation. It is a manifestation that we belong to God because we put others first. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Love. Self-sacrifice. The flesh told me this morning, "Preacher, don't drive that bus. You've got 1,001 excuses. Don't drive that bus." And I went around and I picked up those kids over in Port Clinton. We had 22 on the bus this morning. And as I saw those kids get on with their smiles, saying, "Hi, preacher." You know, I saw all of a sudden the love pop out. Amen. And you know, we ought to go ahead and manifest the fruit of the Spirit, which is number one, love. You know, that means sometimes we're going to have to suppress the flesh. I'll be honest, you know what my flesh wanted to do this morning? It wanted to sleep in. It wanted to go away. Just, you know. The flesh says, "Don't show up. Nobody would ever miss you." And I said, "Well, I know that's a lie." Who's going to unlock the doors? Love. Self-sacrifice. That's a fruit. Remember this. Fruit identifies the tree. You go to an apple tree, you expect apples. You go to a grapevine, you expect grapes. I've never gone to a grape arbor, and I grew grapes behind my house when I lived in Foster area. I never went there and expected to get watermelons. You see, the fruit is a product of the tree. The fruit is the product of the tree. We are to bear good fruit because we're in the right vine. Love, joy, cheerfulness, in other words, a calm delight, gladness, joy. You know what joy really is? It is Jesus and you with nothing between. Think about that. A J and a U or a Y, joy, with nothing in between. Jesus and you, with zero between. And then peace. It's quietness, rest. You know, you'll never have peace without real biblical love and real biblical joy in your life. You'll never have real peace in your life. Now, I want you to notice the first three of these. The first three of these fruit of the Spirit relate to you and your condition. It relates to you and your condition. It shows the disposition of your soul. And if you don't have love, joy, and peace, that tells me something about your spiritual condition. Amen? Now I want you to notice the next three. The next three are long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Long-suffering, longanimity, forbearance. It means to patiently endure or to wait on. Gentleness. It means usefulness. In other words, morally excellent in character or demeanor. Kindness. Goodness. Depicted by always doing that which is right and good. These next three fruit of the Spirit show you and your conduct towards others. You and your conduct towards others. They are an external manifestation of who you are from within. I see a person that's mean and irritated and angry all the time. I see a person that is not, they want something, they want it right now, they're not long-suffering, they're not gentle. I see a person that doesn't manifest the fruit of the Spirit in their life. and long-suffering, gentleness and goodness, it shows the disposition of your soul. These second three shows that they are an external manifestation of who you are from within. Look at the last three. The last three: faith, meekness, temperance. Real faith produces faithfulness. Faith means trust, credence. It means to rely upon completely. Meekness is in reference to humility, gentleness, and conduct, according to the dictionary. Temperance means self-control. The third triad show or reveal your character. These are the personal results of your life. Now I want you to notice, look what it says in verse 22, but the fruit, it doesn't say fruits, plural, but the fruit of the Spirit. You get one, you get them all. You get one, all of them are available to you. You don't get to pick and choose. Matter of fact, I believe the way God laid them out, they are unwrapped consecutively in order.
Amen.
And the very first one you must apply to your life, if you're going to have the rest of them, you must apply that love to your life first.
Yep, that's right.
Amen? And then you need to apply the joy to your life. And then as you unwrap it, all of a sudden you find there's peace there, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness. And if you want self-control or temperance, which is the very last one, you need to make sure that you have the first one in place. Amen? Now, I want you to notice how these fruit develop. Turn to John chapter number 12. Look at verse 24. How does this fruit develop in my life? John chapter 12. The Bible has the answer on how to develop fruit in our lives. Jesus said to his disciples, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." Now, these next four words, I want you to say it with me. But if it die. Say it with me. But if it die. In order for two ears to be growing on in a field, on a corn stalk, it takes one kernel of corn. That corn has the potential for life. It is planted in the ground. It is given warmth. It is given moisture. And all of a sudden, that kernel of corn dies. And the result is new life. And the only way that you can have real fruit in your life, you need to learn to die to self. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." If you live for yourself, you are not going to die to self. If you live for all the enticements and all the pleasures of this world, listen to me, you are not going to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. The Bible says very clearly, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. How do I bear fruit in my life? I've got to learn to die. I've got to learn to die to self. I've got to learn to die to all my own desires. And I've got to go ahead and put Rick and put him at the bottom and put Jesus Christ and allow him to be king in my life. And every day I need to die to self and I need to say, "Lord, you are my Lord and you are my God and you are the prince ruler in my life." And every day I need to die to self. Because you know what? If I didn't do that, it would be all about me. But that's no way to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. We have to learn to die to self. Now look at verse 25 of Galatians chapter number 5, and I'll close. Galatians 5 and verse number 25. Verse 24 says, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts." In other words, if you've been identified with Jesus Christ, you are to die to self. Verse 25 says, "If we live in the Spirit." In other words, if the Spirit of God is living in you, if you are saved. Can I see your hand this morning if you know you're saved? You know you're saved? Amen? Praise the Lord. Listen, if you're saved, the Spirit of God is living down inside of you. He is that inner witness in you. He has sealed you into the day of redemption. He has birthed you into God's family. But it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also, what? Walk in the Spirit. What does it mean, walk in the Spirit? Years ago, before I had a driver's license, I walked everywhere I went. I started seeing my girlfriend, who is now my wife, before I had a driver's license. I'd walk about 11 miles, 12 miles, one way to go see her. And I'd stick out my thumb and hopefully get a ride. I used to hitchhike when I was 14, 15 years old. That was the mode of transportation back then. I had regulars that would pick me up. They'd say, "Hey, Rick, you're out walking again, huh?" And I'd be walking home, and it'd be late at night. It'd be raining, snow, and I'd walk. You know, when you walk, it takes you places. It takes you places. The Bible says we are to walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit of God, He's going to take us places. If you walk in the Spirit of God, there's places it won't take you. There's places it will not take you if you walk in the Spirit of God. There are things you will not do. There are places you will not go. There are things that you will not allow to entertain the thoughts in your mind if you walk in the Spirit of God. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And then he tells the Galatians, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." You see, they had a problem in the church of Galatia. They were not walking in the Spirit of God. Child of God, listen. We are to manifest the fruit of the Spirit in our life, not the works of the flesh. Are you saved? Do you have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you and working in you? Is it manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Just exactly what is it that's being manifested in your life? Bitterness? Anxiousness? Hostility? You know what ought to be produced? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's what ought to be produced. I think the questions that we need to ask ourselves this morning, number one, have we been born of the Spirit of God? Number two, are we walking with the Lord to where the fruit of the Spirit can be manifested in our life? I hope that's the case. If we are going to strive together for the faith of the gospel, the Holy Spirit of God needs to be present and active in our lives. And if it is, we will be fruitful and bear His fruit. Let's bow our heads, please.